The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to September 2008.
University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors for a very unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today let me introduce our panel to you from the College of Engineering and Sciences and the Department of Mathematics. He's a guy who directs the pre-college engineering programs for the college. It's Dan, the Dapset Man Maggio.
Hi, Kathy.
And how was your summer vacation?
What did I do besides work?
I was going to say working like a dog. Roof.
Went to Minneapolis for a few days. Went to this really quaint, nice little thumb cottage.
That's right. You went to the Polka Fest in Kindy, Michigan.
In Kindy, Michigan.
Big time.
You're all looking at me like,
it was great.
It was fun. Was the food not like to die for? It was good.
Yes. If you continue to eat a diet of that and kind of food, you would die.
They had these particularly good cookies.
Yes, the cookies were the best.
Cookies were delicious.
The cookies just kept moving. Okay.
Did some housework and the normal stuff.
That's great. All right. Well, I'm glad you had a good holiday. Now, on the other side, around the table from the Department of History, it's Chair and the keeper of the Abolitionist Archives, which have moved to the library, but nevertheless, they're still with us. It's Professor Roy Finkenbein.
Hi, Kathy. Good to be back.
And how was your summer vacation?
Well, it wasn't all vacation. As you know, I teach some accelerated classes during the summer, so that kept me going and tried to do some research and, in fact, took a trip in late August down to Tennessee for a project I'm working on, which, among other things, in the course of 1 week, I unexpectedly met one of the founders of Cracker Barrel, attended a Sons of Confederate Veterans meeting, and preached in a Black Holiness church.
Whoa. Okay. That's
more later.
I figure
that's it.
I have other qualifications. I have other qualifications because in September, Barb and I went over to Stratford, Ontario. Oh. Mm-hmm. So I consider that gives me foreign relations experience.
Well, I'm glad it does, you know. Now, we did hear the voice of Professor Jeff Boats from the Department of Mathematics and Math Education, who we must also announce is a dad.
Yes.
Yes, yay. And he shared a picture today of the cutest little critter you could hope to see, but sorry, radio listeners, you can't. Maybe we can get it up on the website.
Well, maybe I'll put it up on my website.
You should.
By the time this airs, I'll do it.
Good.
Michael Lee Boats, and he's 10 pounds, 12 ounces when he was born.
And now you said he's up to 16.
He's a big bunch of love.
Wow. Yeah. That's okay. And he is. He's a cute little critter. So what did you do besides, you know, changing Pampers and stuff? I hope you got to break away.
Oh, yeah, I got to play. I played a lot of baseball over the summer and changed a lot of Pampers.
That's okay.
That's more time than you think.
Yeah, that's kind of that first year.
And we're looking to, we're doing a lot of home shopping right now. We're thinking of moving because we're going to need a big place pretty soon. We're hoping this isn't our only kid. So.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Yay. All right. Well, let's see. On my summer vacation this year, I went to Ireland and I went to China. And I'm happy to announce that in China, we had a visit to, yes, East meets West. At the Beijing Political Union University, I was happy to find out that their students actually listened to us over the internet. So that was really exciting. And they were so surprised that they actually recognized my weaselly voice even in the Far East. So it was an amazing, amazing UDM moment.
Maybe they can send us some Olympic questions.
Actually, I have asked them to send us some questions, so I'm hoping that'll be possible.
Really?
So again, you know, this is a show where you can send us questions from East or West, from churches, on foreign relations, on law cases, on cookies, on whatever you'd like to send. And if you stump the panel, you'll win one of our fabulous T-shirts. And if you don't stump the panel, you still win a fabulous T-shirt. So come on, you need a T-shirt? Send us some questions. So how can you get those questions to us?
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag Ask the Professor UDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
And wouldn't it be a great way to start off the new year by questions from one of our favorite contributors, the one, the only, Dave Chow of Berkeley, Berkeley,
Dave,
Michigan.
The puppy Chow.
Is Dave going to become the new Bert?
I hope so. I think he has. You know,
I miss Bert's questions.
Well, who doesn't
and
miss
Bert's
Bert?
Gifts?
Dave. You know,
actually, a big gift would be if he'd come back and be a guest panel,
which he would like to do. He said that, and he said, "Dear Profs, here we go again. New semester, new questions. Hopefully everyone there had a wonderful summer, is tanned and ready for a new semester at UDM. Things have been spruced up here on the CCS campus, and we're getting ready for another fun-filled semester here as well. So what better way for me to start off your academic year and mine than by sending you folks a new set of questions. A score of 16 out of 20, and then he puts also known as 80%. So we're not putting you to work today, yes. Math guys. Not unless Kathy thinks I need to up the standards. I'd be more than willing to agree to whatever standards she wants to inflict on the panelists. Ooh, what a sense of power.
No, 80's good.
80's good.
We don't need no stinking standards.
I was going to say, really. I want it to be 20 out of 20. Nah, there we go.
We don't need standards because we get hints.
That's right. There we go. And that's exactly right. All right, so 16 out of 20. He said these go here, there, and everywhere. All right. Number one, who was the only U.S. president not sworn in with a Bible? So not sworn into office with a Bible.
It wasn't Calvin Coolidge, was it?
No, and that's such a great guess because he was sworn in by his daddy, who was a justice of the peace, mm-hmm. wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Could it be someone who was sworn in sort of on an emergency basis?
Yeah, it is an emergency situation.
Was it Johnson, LB Johnson?
No, because it was actually, there was a Bible on Air Force One.
So and it said Gideon's.
Yeah, well, really, it could have said Reader's Digest condensed version, but it was still the big book. Think of some other presidents in the 20th century who've had to be sworn into office, sadly, after a shooting incident.
Besides JFK?
Besides JFK, absolutely.
McKinley. So it'd be Teddy Roosevelt.
That's exactly right.
It was Teddy Roosevelt. Who's gotten a lot of press lately because, at least one of the candidates really
he got shot.
Tries to claim that.
No, William McKinley. McKinley
did. He was in the 1800s, wasn't he?
No, this is 1901. Yeah. Sadly, McKinley developed a sepsis
right,
from his wound. I mean, this was pre-antibiotic, and very sadly, that's what he died of. But Teddy Roosevelt was actually camping with his family up in Upper New York State. It's a really harrowing journey he had to take through the night, on a horse-drawn carriage.
Yeah, I grew up in Western New York.
Yeah, so the mountains, rains. They were climbing, rock climbing and camping and fishing and out in the woods. And so he could get to Albany and get the train. So, yeah, he was not sworn in on a Bible. So, goo Teddy.
Did that start rumors that in his re-election campaign of 1904?
But the thing I always think about Roosevelt is the way that, he too early said that he would only run for one more term, that he wouldn't, And he could have actually run for two consecutive terms, he did not do that.
I find it interesting how at least there's a strand of Americans that keep confusing Keith Ellison swearing in for the House with Obama swearing in the Senate. It's interesting stuff.
That's one I've not heard.
Ellison is... Oh, Muslim.
I know, true enough. And he used actually Jefferson's Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, from the Jefferson Library his collection, which again, get over it, eh? What movie was the first to gross over $100 million at the box office?
Star Wars.
No, this kind of surprises me as well.
Earlier than that?
I think earlier than E.T., definitely. This was a film that made people afraid to go into the water.
Jaws.
Yes.
Sure. Okay, fine. Yeah.
It really did because I remember my sister Anne yelling out at Lake Huron, shark, shark, and people coming out of the water. And I'm like, excuse me. We're in the Great Lakes. So I think that film really...
Land Shark. At the same time.
Land Shark.
Yeah, Land Shark. Yeah, Land Shark. Land Shark. All right. What does a Ritz stick, R-I-T-Z stick, measure? A Ritz stick.
Correct.
Ritz is nothing to do with dance, does it?
Nothing to do with dance. Although I would think it's probably something that when all of you here, that when you got your first pair of shoes, perhaps, your first hair shoes or whatever, that it measured.
Your size of your feet?
Yes, it's a person's shoe size. You know that? Remember that strange thing? You had
your
heel up against the metal part of it and had those.
They don't do that anymore. It's all self-serve.
They
don't? I'm just kidding.
Oh, I hope they
don't. A lot of stores, you go in and you say, can I look at these, they bring them out, throw them on the floor, and walk away, and you've got to try them on yourself.
Yeah,
honey, you need to shop where I shop because I want somebody checking my little feet out.
In our day, we also could get the cheap x-ray, too.
I know. They used to x-ray people's feet.
What?
Yeah.
At the shoe store?
Mm-hmm. Because they claimed it was some type of scientific perfect fit or whatever. They think about the x-rays.
Really?
I always wondered about the poor people that worked there. I know.
Yeah.
When you think about it now, I guess it wasn't... But it seems so scientific and modern or something. So don't let little Michael do that.
Oh, no, not
Write
not a
this
chance.
Down. Nope. Put that down on the list.
Nope,
okay.
He's not going to wear any shoes until he's old enough, and then he's going to get big white tie-top sneakers like Daddy.
Excellent. All right. Who are the only two Asian-American actors to be part of Saturday Night Live's cast? So these are...
Asian-American.
Yeah. So there's only two, he claims. And, you know, and I don't
That doesn't count
trust
John
him.
Belushi dressing up as
Oh,
the,
a samurai.
Samurai. Samurai Hitman.
It could,
samurai
but it
Night
doesn't.
Wow,
that's a good one.
I can't picture one. Are these?
There's one that's very familiar to me. The other name is not
familiar
to me.
Obviously Asian, or are they just have a kind of like a small...
One is, both of them are Eurasian. I mean, that they are part European background, part Asian background. Gosh, and I'm trying to think.
I can't think of one.
Okay, one initials are R.S. It's a male, R.S., All right, that's Rob Schneider.
He's part Asian?
He says he's part Filipino.
Asian? I had no idea.
I can see a hint, I suppose.
Yeah,
see, that's what I was getting at.
And the other is Fred Armisen, A-R-M-I-S-E-N, who said he's part Japanese.
They probably don't flame him.
You know, I always still like Michael Moore's idea that everybody should just intermarry with everyone else, so it just one day they'll just be beige people.
Oh, he stole that from Bulworth.
I love it though. I think it's such a great concept.
Henry
you know?
Highland Garnett, who was probably just a tier below Frederick Douglass as a black abolitionist in the 19th century, had the same argument.
Yeah, I mean, you know, instead of all these bizarro categories, just let's blend. Okay, this half of a famous comedic duo has 3 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And Groucho Marx once called him the greatest straight man ever.
Was it Laurel and Hardy? Maybe?
Not Laurel and Hardy.
George
this is
Burns.
Another. They did a number of films, some of them a bit.
Abbott and Costello?
That's it. So which one was it?
Abbott.
It is. It's Bud Abbott. Yeah, he did kind of have that more kind of straight man quality.
Well,
that way.
That's the harder half of the duo,
I would
too.
Think so. You did
being
improv,
silly and
right?
Being silly and goofy is easy. It's setting up the other guys the skill.
I would think
Who's
so.
Who's on first?
Have you ever been to California to see this Walk of Fame with a star?
Yeah, I have.
Because it's like every day some no-name celebrity is getting a star. I mean, does this go on for like miles and miles?
It's pretty big, yeah. I mean, it's not like it's enormous square that everybody
doesn't really
gets
mean
like
anything
a driveway.
Anymore when they
you
give
know?
Them to just you know any joke.
Jamie Lynn Spears.
Well, no, that's what I mean. But yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I wanted to see like the glam stars of what I thought were like you know Bette Davis and you know
sure, yeah.
That's who I was looking for. I admit it. But you're right. They now have people. You're like, huh?
It's like a whole parking lot full of stars.
It's Andy Warhol.
Well, when we
right?
think
Everybody's
about fame,
now.
Let's take a break. Yeah.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Get those bells. Yes. The University of Detroit Mercy presents Ask the Professor. On location. It's our annual picnic show, and this year we have come to Chillicothe, Ohio, at the grand opening of the academic theme park.
Don't get cotton candy on the mic, okay?
That's right. All right. It's the first academic theme park in North America, and I have with me today, that came all the way down from Detroit, we have George Pickering.
Sure. Pleasure to be here, giving away degrees.
George is very attracted to this thing over across from us called the Diploma Mill.
Oh, which, I love it.
Strolling along beside George is Kathy Bush.
Hello.
And this is the place, though, this Diploma Mill. You can have hot dogs with vice presidents. You can buy a degree or two. Anything your heart desires, academically.
Well, you can win
or,
it at games, too.
And you can do that. You can do that. Oh, we're passing the casino. Let's take a look at the casino.
You can win so many student credit hours and points in there. It's unbelievable.
Are these life experience credits?
Oh, absolutely. It is a life experience.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes it seems like a life sentence, you know, but it's really a life experience.
This is really fascinating.
Step right up, spin the wheel, come out with 32 hours in religious studies.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from September 2008. Matt Nio and the current panel of Ask the Professor panelists will return later this summer with more brand new episodes. So send your questions today to atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to this classic Ask the Professor program from September 2008.
And we're back with questions from Dave Chow of Berkeley, Michigan. And so far, you've only You can only get three more wrong or you flunk, okay? Because it's 16-0-20 that way. I know. Well, you know, he's a professor too, you know? Mm-hmm. There we go. Name the five Horizon League member schools that have left and joined the Atlantic 10 Conference. So these were former Horizon League.
University of Dayton.
Yep, Dayton is
Xavier.
One.
Xavier, yeah.
Yep.
Is Marquette in there?
No, Marquette. You know, Marquette had always been the big independent kind of thing. Let's see. Our dean used to teach at the school.
Louis.
Yes, Louis. The old Billiquins. This is a school in Philadelphia.
Duquesne. Temple.
Yeah, but you got Duquesne. That's Pittsburgh.
Duquesne's
but
another one.
There
yeah.
you go.
Is it Temple or?
Let's see. Not Temple.
George Washington.
No.
In Philly?
Gosh, let me see.
Vanilla Nova?
Boy, I know that neither of you are readers of Butler's Lives of the Saints, so I'm out of clues on this.
I should know this because I was a St. Bonaventure
Joe?
Fan.
LaSalle.
LaSalle.
Oh,
yeah.
LaSalle.
Okay, but that's okay.
Well, you know, now that I'm teaching Michigan history and staying
I could, yeah, that's
four
true.
Hours ahead of the students. You could yeah. have yeah, worked
Oh, my God. I could have, that's right.
You're admitting that on the air?
Well, no, listen. When
I'm admitting it to all my fellow faculty members.
No, there's nothing worse than that. I remember teaching high school. I was the only person in the department after maternity leave that had micro and macro, and they said, you're teaching econ. I said, but I haven't had micro and macro in like 4 years. They said, yeah, but you still had it. So there is that bad feeling of like, okay. I hope nobody read ahead for 2 weeks because I'm in trouble here.
Alma Payne, who was an older professor, in fact, she retired during the time I was at Bowling Green, but she had started teaching about the time of World War II.
Mm.
And Bowling Green was a much smaller college. It was a little teacher's college. And she said, I came in as a new faculty member, and anything was fair game in as long as it's history, they were going to assign it to me, she said. So I learned that I could teach anything with a textbook and a four-hour head start.
Wow. That sounds like something Father Mahler said, that during World War II, when many faculty left, he said they were reassigning classes left, right, and center, and they just said, just start reading fast and teach well. And that was their instruction. So I was like, oh, my God, that was something. In the 1983 iconic movie Star Wars Episode VI, Return of the Jedi, what character did Sebastian Shaw play?
Wow.
So this is Return of the Jedi.
Did he do the voice of Jabba?
No.
Did he play one of the bears?
No.
Sebastian Shaw.
Little Ewoks, yeah.
Yeah.
Ewok, which is Wookiee backwards.
That's right, Wookiee. Okay, that's what I was going to say. Wait a minute.
Don't say anything quite yet.
Let's see. Actually, he played, it sounds like he...
Wow, I'm trying to think of the main new kind
somebody
of
somebody who was
characters.
Unmasked.
Unmasked?
Oh.
Darth Vader.
Yes.
So he was the face of Darth Vader.
Yeah, he played
but
the unmasked
the
Darth Vader. And then it said he also appeared as the disembodied spirit of Anakin Skywalker?
Which is
yeah,
the
at the
person.
Very end. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Anakin, is that the right
yeah,
way to
Anakin
say it?
Anakin Skywalker. That's the same guy.
Darth Vader and Anakin Skywalker yes. are the same and one and the same.
Where have you been?
Can I tell you something? The first time I saw Star Wars picture, I actually fell asleep. I couldn't keep track of it all, and after that I thought, oh, I've just got too much in my head already.
I thought it was all downhill after the initial bar scene.
I know, my
scene.
Nephew has
remember
told me
scene.
That I am not a complete human.
In the first or the
Star Wars was
episode.
The first movie I ever remember seeing.
Mm-hmm. And that's why my nephew said you are not a total human being, Aunt Kat, because you don't get into this. I was, okay, you're right. Which U.S. president was also affectionately known as Uncle Jumbo?
William Howard Taft.
I would have said the same thing, absolutely.
John Stewart or Stephen Colbert, one of them, I think it was Colbert the other night, was doing these famous presidential campaign slogans.
No.
And some of them were real, you know, I like Ike and so forth. And then there were made up ones like William Howard Taft, and something about a raft, you know.
Oh, no. This is another president who did seem to have a wide girth, but not to the extent of Taft, who I think had the widest hide in the White House.
Can you pin it down to the century?
Late 19th century, married later.
Oh, Grover Cleveland.
Grover Cleveland, yeah. I mean, he was kind of paunchy, but he married a beautiful woman,
yes,
Frances.
Yes, Ma, where's my paw? Go to the White House, ha, ha,
well,
ha.
He didn't marry that lady, but he married the other one. There we go. Okay. Who played the part of the chief on the old TV series Get Smart?
I can picture his face and his voice, but I couldn't even...
I can tell you, the movie that came out was really, really
good.
It
was great. It was so funny. And that was Alan Arkin, of course, who played the part in the film.
I gave it mediocre reviews. It was entertaining.
Oh, Oh, I thought it was so clever.
No, you guys loved it. I was like,
I think they did a great job of incorporating all of the old stuff, but not really using it much.
Exactly. I mean, they didn't overdo it, the overuse of it, especially with the inventions and things. I thought it was dead clever.
Yeah, well, it wasn't bad.
Well, what did you? How did you like Steve Carell as playing the part of?
He's pretty good. He's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I can't imagine somebody in Hollywood right now doing better. That's his style.
All right. The actor's name is Edward Platt. P-L-A-T-T. Okay.
Oh. Uh-oh, are we losing?
Actually, you're right now at 2.5. Ooh. Okay. In 1989, Bally introduced the first pinball machine to use a celebrity voice. Who was that celebrity?
What year?
1989. So Dan was just a wee lad back in Erie, Pennsylvania.
No, I was here. I was 20-something.
Just a baby.
The Terminator.
No? That's such a great guess.
That's a good guess.
The voice is Elvira's voice.
Oh, not gonna.
So I was gonna say, we have any Elvira fans here? Like,
I was gonna guess Kiss or something like that.
It's Mistress Cassandra of the Night. Peterson, more commonly known as Elvira. Elvira. For the pinball game Elvira and the Party Monsters. See, I never played those games that had voices.
I love pinball, but not with the voices.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Did you ever play a game called Super Soccer?
No.
Oh, that was such a great game. Because it actually had these little soccer balls that when you got into like double bonus, it came flying down. It was wonderful.
I played pinball a lot when I was a kid.
All right. Which prime minister is on the Canadian $5 bill?
It's not McDonald.
It's not McDonald, but he...
Laurier?
Yeah, it's Wilfrid Laurier. Good for you. Name three of the actors who have played the Alfred role in the Batman film series.
The film series?
Yeah, the film series.
Okay, so not Alan Napier then.
Yes, he is. Alan Napier is one of them.
But he wasn't in the film
series. Michael Caine?
Oh, he was in the 66 film.
Right. Okay. I was going to say he's in that
one. You said the film series?
Yeah, it said in Batman movies.
Movies, Michael Caine.
Yeah, Michael Caine, because he was in that last one.
Okay, now the middle one. Who was the middle one during Keaton?
British actor. Initials are MG.
I can kind of picture him.
Yeah, isn't it awful when you can see someone's face?
Yeah, I totally think I've seen that movie once.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay. Michael Gough?
No.
Okay, so that we'll just take
a half. G-O-U-G-H,
that's
right?
That's it, yeah.
Okay.
And he notes here that William Austin and Eric Wilton played Alfred in the 1940 serial of Batman, which I don't think
I've ever seen. No.
You've seen them, right?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. No. Oh, but do you know the actors? Mm-hmm. I thought you were nodding your head.
No, I was just... shaking my head.
Oh, okay, and you're allowed to do that. Okay. Which U.S. car manufacturer was the first to use a Phillips head screws?
Pick one. GM.
Well, no, this would be a luxury car, I guess you could call it.
Manufacturer?
Manufactured in the United States.
Which manufacturer?
Manufacturer.
Oh.
They were big here in Detroit, Michigan and Clark Street. Their cross streets where they made their cars.
Like going way back to me, like Ford?
No.
Not one of the current big three.
Not one of the current big three. But still, I mean, considered like a classic ride. Big car.
Cadillac?
That's it. Cadillac.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, I was thinking so Cadillac at first, but then I thought they're part of GM.
But they
weren't back then.
So you can tell who's a native Detroiter's heart. Right. Michigan and Clark. That's okay. That was always the caddy plan. But that's okay. You're from Erie, where they did that thing you do.
That's true. Yeah. And
you're famous.
We had our share of manufacturing there, but not at the car level.
Oh. Is it sort of like Detroit that it's kind of no longer?
There's no more manufacturing.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, there's little profits, but the huge places
are gone. Eh?
Empty, gone.
Which game features Josephine Scarlett, Blanche White, and John Green?
Clue.
Yes. Okay, and he notes that the other characters in the North American version are Colonel Michael Mustard, Professor Peter Plum, and Miss Elizabeth Peacock.
Peacock, right?
I would never have known the first names.
Oh.
There isn't a seventh one?
I thought there was.
Only six? Okay.
Now, that's interesting that he calls it the North American version. Is there a South American version?
Like a European or a Mexican.
With different
Spanish
weapons.
Version.
But I love that game.
The Italian version has the Uzi.
That's it, really, yes.
Everyone keeps one in their study,
didn't
right?
Didn't you play Clue?
Yeah, I love Clue.
Oh, I was going to say that's a great game. It really is. What does the S in Hunter S. Thompson's name stand for?
Nothing.
This is unbelievable.
Is it just S?
No, it isn't. It's not a trick question.
It's a given name?
It is, but it's the same name as a Republican who served as a budget director, whose first name
Stockman.
Was Stockton. Yeah, it's Hunter Stockton Thompson.
Okay.
Well, that sounds like
it
so.
It was Stockman that was the budget director. Stockman.
Man? Okay, yeah. Well, close enough. It sounds like it. But, all right. Mm-hmm. In the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, how was the sound of the opening of the Ark of the Covenant made?
They opened up a pop can.
They didn't open up a pop can. They opened up something that's probably, hopefully, in most people's homes.
Refrigerator?
Fire extinguisher.
No. Something that we probably all use on a more than day, once a day basis, hopefully, again.
Toilet lid?
It is a toilet lid, exactly. Sorry, but I mean, I'm
what?
Hoping, yes. They recorded.
No, it went more like a.
They recorded like a toilet tank lid being removed. So maybe the water was running or, you
know. Okay, all right.
Jingle that handle before they removed it or whatever.
Interesting.
It could be, but that's that. And do we doubt Poppy Chow? How could we do that? All right. In the classic Milton Bradley board game Operation, what is the name of the patient that everyone operates on?
Mr. Body or something like
that? No, this
that's
is
the
really
clue.
Funny.
That's the big guy in Clue, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Mr. Body.
Yeah, you're thinking, I was going to say, you're thinking of the
John
Clue
Smith.
Game again. No, gosh. Actually, the
is
first...
Is it a first... Is the first name?
The first name would be more like something you would probably associate with dentistry than surgery. That's something they would drill after in a dental procedure.
Cavity?
His first name is Cavity? Well, there are cavities in the body. I don't want to have to start naming them.
Cavities are us?
No, Cavity. And his next name is the same name as a Looney Tunes character from the Southwest, Yosemite.
Yosemite?
Sam?
That's
Cavity
Sam?
That's
his
name.
Oh, my gosh, bizarre. Kathy has the game up in her office.
I love that
game. Did we get the censored version in America that we grew up on?
Maybe there was, but I'm going to look at that game. Didn't you love play? Didn't anybody else play that game?
That one, yeah, all the time.
And you had to be really don't shake because you know you'd set that thing, which was really really scary.
We used to play
though. I think that's a great game.
I like
for kids.
It traumatized me, Kathy. it traumatized me, and that's why I didn't go to med school.
Is that it, really?
No.
Oh, but you did it so well. I really believed you. Okay, who was the first U.S. president to call for a universal health care program?
No one.
Truman.
No, earlier than Truman.
Oh, wow.
Actually, earlier than Truman. And
really? Roosevelt?
Roosevelt? It's Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy? Oh, I was going to say the other one.
Well, again, he had his very progressive side. He really
that
truly
was 100 years
did.
Ago?
I thought he was a conservative.
How long ago was that?
No.
According to the way
a little over 100.
Aligning
not
with
at
him
all.
Today.
So 100, they had that idea.
Yeah, well, why not?
And nowadays, we get buy your own on the open market.
Yeah.
They'll take care of
it. Like you know? Britain and Germany were actually doing it at that point.
Yeah,
I thought England didn't do it until after World War II.
It did. That was national health. That didn't come in until 47.
I always say,
actually.
Look at Canada. Whatever Canada does, we figure it out about 30, 40 years
later.
You know, everything that becomes legal there eventually is legal here.
Yeah, it's kind of... Oh, well, we have to stop there. We still have a few more, but we'll bring those back. You have to stay till next week, but let me thank our panel. Professor Boat.
Oh, we could use a little more northern exposure, eh?
Hey, all right. Professor Finkenbein.
Good to be here.
And Professor Maggio.
Thanks, Kathy.
You bet. Now eat that cookie. Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Communication Studies Department studios on the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced, technically directed, and saved week by week by Michael Jason. And our executive producer is the divine Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Let's go, Tigers!
And we're back next week with another edition of Ask the Professor. So please plan to join us.